How's it going, everybody? This is the Nitty Gritty. My name is Chad. With me, as usual, is Leonard. This is a show about pro wrestling, and this is another edition of our random match reviews. And you never know why we stumble upon certain matches. Sometimes we talk about them. Sometimes we just send each other random matches, which is what happened here. And this match is Terry Funk versus Eddie Guerrero, and it occurred on September 5th, 1989. NWA World Championship Wrestling, and Leonard sent this one to me, so I'm going to let him take it from here.
So this aired on NWA's World Championship Wrestling from Superstation TBS. The date I had was May 20th of 89. So
89.
Yeah. So 89. And this what occurred after Wrestle War 89, where Terry Funk gave Ric Flair a pile driver through a table. Yep. And Flair was out injured and Funk was trying to establish himself. This whole video is 9 minutes and 20 seconds, including a post-match promo, which we'll talk about as well. And it is Eddie Guerrero's debut for the company that would eventually become World Championship Wrestling. And it's mentioned how he's the younger brother of Chavo, Mando, and Hector. And my guess would be because the Guerrero family worked with the Funks for their promotion, Amarillo, that connection is how Eddie wound up getting some exposure by getting on TV. So Funk is in full Dick heel mode, yelling at the announcer for announcing him before he has all his stuff off in the ring. Eddie uses his quickness early on to befuddle Funk, but it just makes him mad. Eddie gets a one-legged enzugiri that JR calls a savat kick because he doesn't know what to call it. Funk bails to the floor for a breather. And I like how he makes fun of all Eddie's tumbling when he gets back into the ring. I think Eddie is a little awkward on a whip into the ropes of the backflip over Funk, but at least the Funk grabbing his legs on a seated dropkick and going into a giant swing. Funk misses a boss man straddle in the ropes and Eddie makes a comeback. However, Funk catches Eddie and pitches him like a lawn dot over the top rope to the floor. Right, Ross rightfully calls that should be a disqualification. It is not, although they were always kind of here and there with that top rope DQ rule. So they fight on the floor. Eddie gets a great looking crossbody from the top rope to the floor. He misses a slingshot splash. Funk runs the ropes like a madman before getting a baseball slide, which I thought was kind of funny because I was like, there's no way he's going to do a suicide dive in 89. And he didn't. So pile driver on the floor, and then Funk rolls Eddie back into the ring for the pin, and then he goes yells at some fans in the crowd. So again, there's a post-match promo. We'll talk about that in a second. But first of all, Chad, your thoughts on the match itself.
Yeah, the running back and forth on the ropes. When I saw that going down, I was like, in my head, I was like, please have him do something. Please don't let it be like what WWF used to do, that stupid crisscross on the ropes where people drop down and, you know, like, please don't let him just run for no reason. But he ended up doing the baseball slide, which is about what you would, you know, see in that era. Yeah, I mean, I thought, you know, I mean, this is described in like the comments of the link as kind of as a squash match. And if we're calling it that, this is a really good example of that, because Eddie gets a lot of offense. And if you are only familiar with Eddie Guerrero's WWF stuff, then, you know, he might look really small here. This is before he kind of beefed up. But he was really quick here, and he got to show off the high-flying tactics, which in this era were not something that you saw all the time. You had people like Owen Hart and Eddie Guerrero kind of coming up through the ranks of different companies and showing off these skills. And I thought Eddie looked really well here. And Terry Funk was always one of those heels or wrestlers in general that went out of his way to make his opponent look good.
Yes.
You could always count on that with him. So I thought that that was really cool here. The power slam over the top rope was really neat. You know, it looked devastating for something that you would see on TV. Mm-hmm. At one point, Eddie has a low head scissors here, which might be the lowest I've ever seen anybody do a head scissors in all of my years watching wrestling. Like, he gets it with the tip of his feet.
Mm-hmm.
Like to the point where, like, in anybody else's hands, it might look like an obvious botch. But, he does it. He pulls it off. I enjoyed this for what it was.
Yeah, I think it was a very energetic squash. And I forgot to mention, I got turned on to this match because the WWE Vault channel on YouTube put up a Terry Funk mixtape, like 3.5 hours of promos and matches. And it really gave me a new appreciation for Funk to see kind of all that in one place. And yeah, he really always did go out of his way to sell and to make the other guy look good. And like I said before, the connection with the Guerrero family, this is probably him wanting to do something like that to help Eddie and for the family. I did think it was a lot of innovative offense from Eddie. Actually, he reminded me of Lanny Poffo.
Yeah.
Poffo was doing head scissors and enziguris and was doing the backflip off the top and all that. He's probably about the only guy, U.S. guy, that was doing that pre this. Then, as you mentioned, Hart was coming in. Brian Pillman was coming in. Those guys around this time. So you started to get more of that. I think the story was good because it was crazy Funk versus this upstart kid with a very innovative offense. And I really liked, like, part of me, because I was so entertained, wanted to give it like 3 stars, which I know is like really high considering it is a squash TV match, more or less.
Well, let's dial down on that. I think that that's it. Depends on how you rate it. Like, if you're comparing this in a star rating to, say, you know, a Starcade match, then obviously that doesn't compare. But like for me, whenever I would rate movies, for example, if I was rating a B movie or a movie that was direct to video, I might give that, to what some people say, a high rating, but I'm measuring it on a scale of those types of movies. So in terms of like TV movie, TV matches or squash matches, I'd say 3 stars is fair here because it's a competitive match.
Then I would go 3 stars definitely if we're comparing it to other TV matches like War Championship Wrestling at the time or Superstars at the time. Sure. 3 stars. Yeah.
And like, it's worth mentioning that this angle between Flair and Funk at the time is really great. This was, you know, I mean, a lot of people probably grew up with Ric Flair. I knew who he was, but I didn't necessarily grow up with his NWA stuff. But when this DVD set came out from WWF, the first one, this angle was on there, and I loved it, and have since really enjoyed, you know, listening to podcasts and, you know, researching it. So this was obviously meant to, you know, show off Funk's craziness, kind of get him warmed up with the crowd, see what he can do. You know, obviously he's just coming out of Over the Top, the classic.
Yes.
So yeah, I did like this, and the promo afterwards was solid as well.
Yes, very entertaining. So just in short there, Funk says the word jackass like 30 times, referring to a donkey as a pet on the ranch, and his dad shot it when it had a broken leg. And the NWA needs to put the jackass as Ric Flair out of his misery. And then he begs to be put on the top 10 list because Rick Steiner was injured and he thinks Jim Ross has something to do with it. And he's on his knees begging to Jim Ross. And again, just Funk lunacy, but a very entertaining promo.
Yeah, you could see like where Mick Foley would pick up a lot of the, you know, kind of bullet points for his promos, like telling certain stories. So, yeah, very cool. We do a lot of other videos. Please hit the like button on this one. Subscribe to our content. Check out other videos, Segment Surgery, our full-length episodes, What's That Card, all that stuff. And our ending segment is going to be our trivia game. Mm-hmm. I answered some questions last time. Leonard will answer the questions this time.
Yes, and before I do that, I do want to give a plug. I've made my 4th appearance on Steve Turek's Diecast Movie Podcast, which you can download anywhere you get podcasts. He rolls a dice, 2 pairs of dice. One would be a die, with genres on them. So I got action fantasy and picked Lady Hawk from 1985. Starring Rutger Hauer, Michelle Pfeiffer, and Matthew Broderick. So we have an in-depth conversation about the film Lady Hawk.
Very cool. It's a cool idea.
So last time, Chad did questions 3, 4, and 5, as explained. I'm just looking. So questions 3, 4, and 5 on the card I just grabbed, and I have not looked at the back of these. all have to do with WrestleMania 5.
Okay.
So, and I'm looking here. I don't think I know the answers.
Any of them?
Yeah, because they're all about the same match, it seems. We'll get into it.
Okay.
So anyway, they're 1 through 5. They go up how hard they are. But question 3 is, what was unique about the tag title bout at WrestleMania 5?
I remember.
Okay, well, but memory serves, it was Demolition versus Andre the Giant and Haku, which is what you had one of those. It was not that.
That's six.
So 5 was, was that Demolition versus the Japanese guys?
No, that
was Road Warriors later on.
You want me to tell you what it is, or do you want me to give you a minute?
So question 4 is, who were Axis Smash's opponents at WrestleMania 5? And then 5 was, what foreign object was used in Demolition's WrestleMania 5 match? Was it the Powers of Pain?
And Mr. Fuji.
Oh, so it was a 3-on-2 handicap match.
Yeah, that was
what we needed. And Fuji's cane was going to be my guess for the weapon use.
Yeah.
So, no. So it was a handicap title match. It was Warlord, Barbarian, and Fuji, but salt was what was used, the ceremonial salt.
You're right. You're right.
So it was on the card here. So I did not fare well, but they were all WrestleMania 5. And the celebrity of the week is Rikishi.
Why are they called celebrities? We'll have to figure
that out. I don't know. So, yes. So we will continue to do those cards at the ends of videos just for fun and see how we do. So the first couple, just to mention, are multiple choice. But I think we don't need multiple choice. We'll do the last 3 on the cards.
All right. That sounds good. I like it. It's fun.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for checking us out. Please comment if you have any thoughts about this match or memories of this match. And we'd love to hear from you. So for Leonard, my name is Chad, and we will see you next time.